We're beginning here at Daf Kuf Yud Ted Amud Aleph by the Mishnah on the bottom of Kuf Yud Ched Amud Bet. Stegi Not Zu Agav Zo. You have two gardens that are next to each other, but they are tiered. One is higher than the other. Vayerek Bentayim. And there is vegetation that is growing out of the, what we'll call the retaining wall. So instead of there being like stone on the retaining wall, it's actually earth, the retaining wall. And now there are things growing out of it. Who does that belong to? Rabbi Meir Omer Shel Elyon. It belongs to the upper party. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Shel Tachton. It belongs to the lower party. Amar Rabbi Meir Im Yirtze Elyon Likachet Afaro Ein Kan Yerek. The upper garden can excavate down and flatten this out with the lower garden. That means that all of the earth that's there is really his. So when it's growing out of the side, it's just her's earth that is providing for those vegetations. Amar Yehuda Im Yirtze Tachton Mal Otid Ginato. In Kanyerek, the lower party can landfill his, he can fill in his garden and raise it to the level of the upper garden. If he does that, then there's no Yerek there because there's no airspace left. So again, each of them has a position as to why it should either belong to the upper party or the lower party. Amri Rabbi Meir, Machar Sheshnehem Yecholim Limchot Zeh Al Zeh. Since each one of them can stop the other party from entering into the property, Roim Eichan Yerek Zechai. We have to look at where it's growing from. So either you have to view this as being the major reason behind Rabbi Meir's position because of Rabbi Yehuda's response to him. Rabbi Meir says in the bottom line, since both of us have a good position, you have to look at where the item is nourished from, and the karka is the ikar, where it's nourished from, and that's the determining factor, and that's the major reason for Rabbi Meir. The Meiri does bring down here with regards to this Mishnah an alternate girsa that says Rabbi Yossi. And that would make a lot of sense then, because then you have a third opinion here. You have Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, and then Rabbi Yossi's opinion, which is his third opinion, and you don't have to reconcile it with Rabbi Meir's previous position, where he seems that he's giving two different reasons for what's happening in the Mishnah. Amar Rabbi Shimon, Kol Shel Yon Yecholif Shot Et Yadov Lito, Arei Hu Shelo. Whoever can, whatever the upper party can reach down and take it out, that belongs to him. Bashar Shel Tachton, and the remainder belongs to the lower party. What's interesting over here is, what is Rabbi Shimon's psak? Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, we know what their positions are. Rabbi Yehuda believes that it is belongs to the lower party. Rabbi Meir believes that it belongs to the upper party. Rabbi Shimon comes along and says, well, it has to do with where you can reach to. What does Rabbi Shimon believe? Rashi says that Rabbi Shimon really believes over here, Velyon hu gufei afkurei mafkir luhu, the gabei, so what Rashi seems to say is that Rabbi Shimon's position is really based on Rabbi Meir. He holds like Rabbi Meir that it all belongs to the upper field. But since it's beneath his dignity to ask permission to go get his Yerek from the field down below, he only takes what he can reach from his upper field. And then whatever's below that, he's mafkir. He relinquishes control over. So according to Rashi, Mi'ikar Adin, Rabbi Shimon agrees with Rabbi Meir. And the reason that he takes the upper ones is because he can reach them. The lower ones he's too embarrassed to get, so he is mafkir them, and that's why the lower party can get them. If you look in the Gra says just the opposite. It says, Nirbein, I mashmud, Mi'ikar Dina, Svarvalei, Kiki, Rabbi Yehuda. That underlying Rabbi Shimon's position is that he holds like Rabbi Yehuda. That technically, it all belongs to the Tachton. It all belongs to the lower guy. And Rabbi Shimon says we just seed the stuff at the top to the guy who can reach them. Since he can reach them, then we seed them. So what you see here is a fundamental machloket between Rashi and the Gra, who brings the Rambam and all the Rishonim, who seem to think otherwise as to Rabbi Shimon's position. Does it rely on Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda? Rashi says it relies on Rabbi Meir with an exemption for the lower party because he's mafkirit. The gross is the opposite way around. It all belongs to the guy on the bottom, with the exception of that top tier where the upper guy can reach it, which the tachton recently relinquishes to him. He says it's a nafgamina for mechira and for orla, who owns the property, and for orla, we'll see later on, it has nafgamina as to whether we really hold like Rabbi Yehuda, or do we really hold like Rabbi Meir. So there are nafgaminot, even though we paskin like Rabbi Shimon with regards to this particular din. In other dinim, there will be nafkaminot, whether you think it's Rabbi Huda that's right or Rabbi Meir that's right. And you have to determine that from Rabbi Shimon's position. Is he relying on Rabbi Huda or Rabbi Meir? Rashi says he's relying on Rabbi Meir, and Gros says he's relying on Rabbi Huda. Amarova, bi'ikaro kuliamalo plige del yonhavi. The roots of the Yerek, everybody agrees that it belongs to the upper party. Because the roots are embedded in the karka. So say these are root vegetables, or these are items that are found beneath the ground. Anything beneath the ground clearly belongs to the upper party, because the lower party has no claim. The only claim the lower party has is that it's ba'avir shali. It's in my airspace. Well, if it's below the ground, it's not in his airspace. So it clearly belongs to the upper party, because the karka itself belongs to the upper party. Ki plige binofo. The question is with regards to things that are growing out of the ground, whether that's the vegetation itself, or whether that's the leaves that give access to the item that is below the ground. Once it's growing out, the airspace is now being utilized as well as the karka. Rabbi Meir Savar, Shadi Nofo Batar Ikaro. Rabbi Meir says you take the nof, the leaves, go after the ikar, that which is in the ground. And just like the roots in the ground belong to the balakarka, so too the leaves are attached to that ikar, to the core. Rabbi Yehuda Savar, Lo Minan Shadi Nofo Batar Ikaro. Bidu says we don't say that. The leaves are independent of that which is in the ground. What's in the ground belongs to the balakarka. What's out of the ground belongs to the balatachton, the balavir. The Tanya. Now here over here, there's an interesting girsa question. We have the Tanya. There is a Braita. You can see that in the Bach, as well as in the Balei Tosafot on the top of the next Amud, that there was a girsa. The Tanya, Nami, Gabi, Mekach, Umem, Karti, Hai, Gavna. The girsa wasn't the Tanya, that this is a Braita. And the Balei Tosafot explained here is because the next case is not exactly like our case. It's similar, but not exactly the same. If you read Ba'azda the Tamayu, or you read the Tanya, it makes it sound like this Braita is exactly like the case of our Mishnah and the argument of our Mishnah. What the Balei Tosafot point out is it's just not true. It's not exactly like our Mishnah. Since it's not exactly like our Mishnah, they use the term, Ditanya Nami Gabi Mekach Umemkar. By transactions, we have a similar Braita, Ki Hai Gavna. That's similar, but not exactly alike. And what is that? Hayotse Min Hageza Umin Ashorashim. Hayuelu Shabala Karka Dibri Rabbi Meir. Here you have a machloket where a person sold a tree to a particular individual. He sold them one tree. When he sells them one tree, the Gemara in Bava Kamma will see, says that you don't get any karka. You don't get any land with that. So he owns the tree, he doesn't own any of the karka. All of a sudden, out of this tree, either from the geza, from the trunk itself, or from the shorashim, from the roots, all of a sudden a new tree grows out. Who does that new tree belong to? Rabbi Meir says it belongs to the balakarka. It belongs to the owner of the land, Divi Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, Min hageza shobel al ilan. If it's coming out of the trunk of the tree, it belongs to the owner of the tree. Min ha-shorashim, if it comes from the roots that are underground, shobala karka. It comes out, it's still bala karka. So over here you see a similar machloket as to whether we say that you are shadar batar ikaro or not shadar batar ikaro. Rabbi Meir says everything goes out of the core. The core is the roots in the ground, and therefore the geza, which is also a derivative of the ground, everything belongs to the bala karka. On the other hand, Rabbi Yehuda says it depends. Things that are underground belong to the balakarka. Things that are above ground belong to the balailan. So it's a similar type of machloket. It's not exactly the same as the Balei Tosafot point out that afilo amar Rabbi Yehuda. Even if Rabbi Yehuda said, ayotzei min hageza shel balakarka, lo yikshe klum. Even if Rabbi Yehuda believed that what came out of the trunk belonged to the balakarka, you could still say that his position in our Mishnah would remain the same. And that is because when he sold him the tree, he sold him, number one, the tree, and that's it. The avir and the karka belong to the balakarka. Over here, it's not like the avir and the karka are owned by different people. The balakarka owns the karka and the avir. The only thing he doesn't own is the tree now, because he sold the tree. So even if Rabbi Yehuda believed that everything belonged to the balakarka, that would not be in direct opposition to his position here, because you can say over there, the avir and the karka belong to the balakarka. That's why everything belongs to the balakarka. But in our case, the avir and the karka are shared. They're different people that own them. And similarly, Rabbi Meir, in our case here, had he said that everything belongs to the balailan, it also would not be a question in our Mishnah, because he could say that when he sold them the tree, he sold them the tree plus the new branches or the things that come out each year. That's part and parcel of the tree. That's what he sold them. But in our case, where you're using the avir and the karka, he didn't sell him anything. It's his karka that's growing. It happens to be growing out onto the other avir, but it's his karka. So that's why he says, the Mishnah says, ki hai gavno, that it's similar in nature. And we're going to bring another braita now, and then the Gemara is going to make a tzrichuta between the braitot. Why do I need two braitot? Tosva points out that the Gemara only asked the question about the two Braitot, not about our Mishnah. Why don't we do a Tzrichuto with our Mishnah? Why do you need a Braita to tell you the same thing as a Mishnah? The answer is, it's not the same thing. That's why the Gemara doesn't even ask the question there. When we bring the two Braitot down that are very similar, then that works. So what is the, why did the Gemara bring this? Because we see here a similar idea, that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir are favoring. Rabbi Meir favors the Balakarka in this Braita, like he does in our Mishnah. And Rabbi Yehuda favors the Bala Ilan, or the Bala Avir, like he does in our Mishnah. But not that the cases are exactly alike. Vitanya, we have an additional Braita, Nami Gabi Orla, by the case of Orla. Ki Hai Gavna, again, similar in nature. Ilana Yotze Mina Geza, Umina Shorashim, Chaya, Varla, Divi Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir, who thinks that everything belongs to the Bala Karka, then when there's a new tree that's coming out of the trunk, or there's a new tree coming out of the Shorashim, it is exactly that, a new tree. That's why it belongs to the Balakarka. It belongs to the Balakarka because it's a new growth. It's a new tree. If it's a new tree, number one, it belongs to the Balakarka. Number two is, you're Chayav and Orla. Now you're going to have to wait 3 years because it's a brand new tree. Even though it's attached to the original tree, it's still deemed to be a completely new tree. So even though it's exiting the Geza, the trunk, nevertheless, it's considered to be a brand new tree. If it derives from the trunk, it is not Chayav and Orla. Mina shorashim chayav. If it comes out of the roots, then you are chayav. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, which is that when it's beneath the ground and it's coming from the shorashim, that is deemed to be a new growth. And since it's a new growth, that is a new tree. It's a new tree, you're chayav in orla, plus that's not what you sold to the Bala Ilan. Again, the case here is a similar case where the karka is owned by one and he sold him a single tree on the karka. So now, when the item exits from the tree, from the shorashim, everybody agrees it belongs to the owner of the land, and it's chayav in orla because it's a new tree. It's a completely new tree. The machloket is by the geza. When it comes out of the trunk, is that deemed to be a new tree or not a new tree? Rabbi Meir holds that it belongs to the bala karka, and therefore it's deemed to be a new tree. And Rabbi Yehuda believes it belongs to the bala ilan, and therefore it's not a new tree, and therefore it's not chayav in orla. Their two are connected. The Gemara in Baba Batra will differentiate what's considered to be a branch and what's considered to be a geza. Here you have a trunk, and a new trunk grows off of here. It's not that there's a branch coming off the trunk. It's clear that if a branch goes off the trunk, that belongs to the Bala Ilan, and it's not Chayav in Orla. Here we're talking about a whole new tree trunk grows out, and you see that sometimes, especially with olive trees. You could see that. Olive trees have multiple trunks that are coming up. It almost looks like three trees joined together at the bottom. So that's the machloket here. Betzriche, and we need both of these braitot. The yashminon kamaita, if you only told me the first one about selling the tree and who owns the new stuff. B'hakamar Rabbi Yehuda mishum de mamona. Over there, that's a monetary transaction. That's why he says it belongs to the Bala Ilan. Of olgabe orla di isura. Orla, which is an isur de oraita, ema modile de Rabbi Meir. Maybe over there, he agrees with Rabbi Meir that we're going to say chayav in orla. So one of them might rely on what is the normal way that people interact. When they sell the tree, what are they thinking? So that's mamona, that's a monetary issue, and there you can make a decision to say that one belongs to the Bala Ilan, the trunk stuff, and the roots belong to the Bala Karka. On the other hand, when it comes to Orla, it's an objective standard that the Torah gives. It's Isura. So either because it's Isura d'oraita, we have to go to Chumra, or you have to say that it's an Isura, it's not governed by what we're thinking, it's governed by the facts. Is this a new tree or is this not a new tree? So maybe we'd agree with Rabbi Meir. V'id mar b'ha, if we only had the second case by Orla, b'ha kamar Rabbi Meir. Maybe over there, that's why Rabbi Meir is machmir and says everything's chayav in Orla. Of a b'ha'i, by the case of the transaction, ema modi le Rabbi Yehuda. Maybe we'd agree with Rabbi Yehuda that it's a transaction and it goes by lashon b'nei adam or what people were thinking. Tzrichei, therefore we need both of them. So that's why we here the Tosfot proves from this that here you see that they both require both braitot. The Gemara only asks about the braitot, doesn't ask about our Mishnah. Because it's clear to the Gemara that the braitot are different than our Mishnah. They're not exactly alike. They're kihai gavna. They are similar in nature. But the two braitot are exactly alike. And therefore, why do you need both of them? And that's what we did the tzrichuto for. Amar Rabbi Shimon, kol shel yon yachol lifshot, Rabbi Shimon's psak at the end of the Mishnah. Amre debay Rabbi Yanai, ubavad shelo yanes. That's only the case if he doesn't have to do acrobatics to get to it. Meaning that whatever he can reach naturally, that's fine. You know, if he's hanging himself by a rope from up top trying to get down there, that's already beyond the area that he is entitled to. By Rabbanan, v'itema Rabbi Yirmiya. Magia le'nofo, v'ein magia le'ikaro. What happens if he's able to reach the leaves, For instance, you know, in things when plants grow, they go towards the sun. So even though they're growing out of the side here of the earth, the leaves might be facing upwards because they're growing towards the sun. So he's able to reach the leaves, but he can't reach the core of the roots to pull it out. What's the din there? Now, the Gemara here has an alternate question. You can see the Aleph in the Gro who eliminates the Girsa. Magiela Ikaro vein Magiela Nofo. What happens if he reaches the roots, but he can't reach the leaves? My, what's the din? Teiku. So the way that we have the Girsa, the question is in both directions. If he can reach one of the two items, what's the din? And the Gemara leaves it as a Teiku. The Gro, on the other hand, says that he thinks it's clear that if it's able to reach the roots and not the Nof, he says, there's no question if he can reach the roots, which are his, because they're in his ground, then he can take it out. There's not a question. The only question is if he can reach the leaves without the roots, because the leaves are outside of the ground, and that's in the avir. That's the question. So according to him, he says, according to the Gra, the second question is not even relevant. There it's clear that he can take it out. The only question is if he can reach the leaves without the roots. The way we have it in our gears in the Gemara, the question's in both directions. Can reach one of the two, what's the din? And the Gemara leaves it as a teku, unresolved. Amar Ephraim Safra, Talmido Shel Reish Lakish. So now we have Ephraim Safra, the Talmid of Reish Lakish. It's interesting because on yesterday's daf, we also had a Talmid of Reish Lakish speaking. We don't see very often Talmidim of Reish Lakish. Here we have two specific Talmidim of Reish Lakish who don't really appear anywhere else in Shas. Yesterday we had again with regards to the Maziva. Over there, what's the definition of Maitikra? Vestine Amr Bishimen Lakish. That Stine in the name of Reish Lakish says Libachim, that they were boards, floorboards that they were putting up top. So there we had Stine in the name of Reish Lakish. Over here we have Ephraim Safra in the name of Reish Lakish. Mishum Reish Lakish, Halocha ke Rabbi Shimon. The Halocha is like Rabbi Shimon in our Mishnah. Amrua Kameh de Shvor Malka. They said it in front of Shvor Malka. This presents a great difficulty. Shvor Malka is mentioned a number of times in the Gemara. Shvor Malka was the name of the Persian king at the time. When the Gemara mentions Shvor Malka, we actually had it earlier in Baba Metzia. Most times the Gemara says that it's referring to either Rav Nachman or Shmuel. Shvor Malka means that you're like the king. That when you say something, it's as if the king said it, it's as if your halacha is accepted like a king's decree. Something along those lines. So most times in the Gemara, Rashi interprets it to be something that is allegorical in nature, which is not really talking about the Persian king, but you are similar to the Persian king. Over here, Rashi doesn't say that. Rashi says, "Vilniyah Shvor Malka Mamash." Over here, it's talking about Shvor Malka himself, the king. Umelech Paras Sayau Baki Bidinim. He was the Persian king, and he was an expert in civil law in dealing with issues like this. So they said it to Shvor Malka. Amar Lahu. Apirion namtie le Rabbi Shimon. You should give an apirion to Rabbi Shimon. So now here again, apirion, the definition of apirion, Rashi says chein shelanu. Rashi translates apirion, and he similarly translates porat, ben porat Yosef in Pashat Vayichi, that the word porat means chein. That means chein shelanu, that he's deserving of our grace, meaning that what Rabbi Shimon said was great. That's one way to explain it. Others explain it to mean, similarly the Ramban in the explanation of Ben Porat Yosef says something along these lines, which is it means pru or vu. Pru or vu means a pirion, it should become multiplied. And he's saying many more chachamim should be like Rabbi Shimon. We should have more people like him because he got it right. That's one way. Then the Oroch brings that the Lashon of a pirion is a pirya, which is Lashon Chozek, and strong. And it's the equivalent of Yasher Kochacha in Persian. It's the equivalent of saying Yasher Koch to Rabbi Shimon. He deserves a Yasher Koch because he said the right thing. So now all of these, Shvor Malka is complimenting Rabbi Shimon. So now what is going on in the Gemara that Shvor Malka is involved? The first thing we have to deal with is you're dealing with Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish, who is a second generation Amora in Eretz Yisrael. He's a Talmid Chover of Rabbi Yochanan in Eretz Yisrael. Shmuel, who's a first, second generation Amora in Bavel. So it would be strange that Reish Lakish's psak over here, that the halacha is Rabbi Shimon, would be dependent on saying Amru Kameh de Shvor Malka, who Shmuel is sometimes called Shvor Malka in the Gemara. Be very strange to say it's referencing to Shmuel. And Shmuel is complimenting Rabbi Shimon. First of all, it's strange that he's complimenting Rabbi Shimon. And second of all, especially if it's the Talmid of Reish Lakish that's speaking over here, it's already a generation after Shmuel, it seems even less likely that he interacted with Shmuel or Shmuel was interacting on this point. So the fact that they said over that Reish Lakish said the Halacha is like Rabbi Shimon, why should that influence Shmuel at all as to regards to the Halacha? Shmuel could paskin on his own, like Rabbi Shimon. And so what does Reish Lakish's statement have to do with it? Number two is, why does Shmuel need to compliment Rabbi Shimon? Rabbi Shimon's a Tana. Shmuel is an Amora. Either Shmuel says Halacha is like Rabbi Shimon or not like Rabbi Shimon. What's this idea that he said something great? So that's what drives Rashi over here and the Bali HaTosfot to say, like Rashi, that we're talking about Shvor Malka himself, the real king, and not Shmuel, because otherwise it's very hard to reconcile, number one, what is the Talmud of Reish Lakish doing being told over to Shmuel? Number two is, why does that matter to Shmuel? And number three is, why is Shmuel complimenting Rabbi Shimon? All of those seem strange. So then, Shvor Malka becomes the real Shvor Malka. Now the difficulty with that is, why are you sharing Torah Shval Peh with Shvor Malka? The answer might be that it's in the realm of Dinim. The realm of Dinim might be relevant because the Shiva Mitzvah B'nai Noach might also be relevant to non-Jews as well. And therefore, this is an area of Halacha that is relevant to them. And he was a Baki in Dinim. And the Gemara is bringing down that, see, the greatness of our Halachot in Baba Metzia, Baba Kama, and our Dinim, that even the non-Jewish kings who are Bikiyim in Dinei Halachot, they complement our Tanaim who have Halachot that are brought in our Mishnayot. So that would be the idea here. The other possibility is that there are sometimes that not only is Shmuel called Shvor Malka, again, Rav Nachman, sometimes even Rabbah is also called Shvor Malka, and then that would make it a little easier, because then you're speaking about the Talmud of Reish Lakish speaking to someone later. But it still leaves you the problem of Rabbi Shimon, Halacha Rabbi Shimon. The better way to say it then would be that when the last statement here is Amru Kameh Shvor Malka, Amru Apiryon Namte the Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon is not the Rabbi Shimon of our Mishnah, but Rabbi Shimon of Reish Lakish. So when he says the Halacha is like Rabbi Shimon, when he says Ashir Koach to Reish Lakish, that's what he's saying. When Reish Lakish passed him like Rabbi Shimon, Shkoach to Reish Lakish. But you'd still have to say then that Shvor Malka is someone later. Someone later than Reish Lakish or the Talmud of Reish Lakish, and that would indicate that Shvor Malka here is not the king, if you want to say it, but someone who is not Shmuel. And therefore you'd have to come up with it being someone like Rabbah or Rav Nachman, that it was also named Shvor Malka in the Gemara, and that way you could solve the problem as well in that manner. With this, we complete the 10th perek of Baba Metzia, as well as Masechet Baba Metzia. And it ends off on this high note, again, this idea that even the non-Jews, if you say Shvor Malka is referring to non-Jews, recognize the godlos of the dinim of our halachot that are found in the Seder Nezikin. And so therefore we end off with that high note leading us into Baba Batra. Adron Alach, Abayt Valiyah, Uslik Allah, Masechet Baba Metzia.